Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We base our thoughts on our reading from Galatians. A little over 20 years ago, I experienced right here in this very chapel what was to me and to many of my classmates singularly the most powerful preaching and application of the law any of us had ever heard preached. Dr. Gerhard Aho, a former homiletics prof here, in his very quiet and gentle way said, "If this chapel were a congregation, and if I were the pastor of this congregation, I wouldn't sleep nights." You could have knocked us out of our pews with a feather. Well, my sense is that the Apostle Paul's statement, as recorded in today's text, pretty much expresses that same kind of sentiment, and probably had much of the same effect on many of those who heard it. "I have my doubts," or in the NIV, "I am perplexed." Ministry can be pretty perplexing. In fact, the personal living out of faith itself can, at times, be fairly perplexing, even for those of us who are living it. Paul's all-too-human emotion and expression as he iterates his surprise at the Galatians' behavior becomes too often in life and in ministry a reality that we end up having to deal with. For people are interesting, but can be pretty perplexing critters, to include ourselves. All too easily, they, the people we are serving or will be serving, and we with them, prove out the axiom that sin is real and that it is permeating, and that any one of us on any given day could have or could be dyed-in-the-wool full charter members of the church in Galatia, and that we could be, and in probability should be, the ones scolded along with the Christians there in Galatia by the Apostle Paul. His admonitions all too often fit like silver slippers. Where's the joy? Where is the welcome to the bearer of the truth, or more importantly, the welcome to the truth itself? Where's the evidence which is founded in the good purpose, the right, and the truthful purpose? Where's the evidence of a formation in life that shows itself solidly established in Christ rather than in self? Or, in other words, the display of a true discipleship which recognizes and consistently and in every case notices and points out those that would deceive us? The list in Galatians could fit life today. Paul was perplexed, surprised, confused, disappointed. You're going to be perplexed at times. You've probably already been perplexed, not only by what you see in others, but perhaps also by what you've come to recognize in your own self. I know I've been perplexed. People are constantly surprising me, not always in a very good way either. I kind of expect certain attitudes and behaviors that run counter to the tenets of our Christian faith and discipleship from those who don't claim Christ as their own. On the other hand, though, those same behaviors from people who do claim to be Christian and who do come under my pastoral care, well, that does surprise me. Or, in Paul's better and fuller explanation, perplex me. I sometimes have trouble figuring people out, other than in the context of sinner saint. I'm even perplexed by my own behavior and or attitudes which so often run counter to the life I claim in Christ. For instance, or simply for the sake of example, I was really caught by surprise, actually quite deeply perplexed, by my reaction to and by the impact on my internal behavior of personal grief as I experienced it in my own dad's death some 3.5 years ago. There I was, sitting at my own father's funeral, a man who had dedicated his whole life to the sharing of Christ's gospel and who literally used to radiate joy at the prospect of spending eternity with his Savior in heaven. And myself, having preached that same gospel close on to 18 years by that time and never seriously having doubted our faith's premises, finding that the only prayer I could make at that time was one that went something along the lines of, God, is this real? Are you real? Is that hunk of clay in that casket up in the front of this church really going to experience a resurrection? Or is this all a bunk? Are we all just fooling ourselves? God, I'm having trouble hanging on to you right now. I'm not even so sure you're real. But where I'm too weak right now to hang on to you, God, just hang on to me. Just hang on to me. It was hope against hope. And for months, that was about the only prayer that I could pray. I was, and in some ways still am, perplexed by the apparent weakness of my own faith at so critical a time. Our sinful and weak human nature makes us so vulnerable to Satan's attacks. Grief's a powerful potion, as is sloth, or laziness in righteous living, or a wrong-headed zealousness, a desire to justify oneself under the law, an easy willingness to be drawn astray, as seems to have been the case among the Galatians. But those things, along with so many other ways of turning from God, are real. And they really affect us and the people we serve. And therefore, we find ourselves involved in a life and in a ministry which at times is going to cause us to be perplexed. But I figure we're in pretty good company with the Apostle Paul, for whatever comfort that brings. More importantly, in pretty good company with Christ, who because of his life and cross intimately understands the perplexed nature of life, and who by his sacrifice and resurrection untangles, clears up, brings light to that perplexity. Our hearts, as we minister to God's people, will, like Paul's, at times break. We will be confused not only by our own, but by our people's behaviors. And yet, the same Christ who walked the way of the cross for us walked the way of the cross for those to whom we have been called. The good news is that there is an answer to the perplexity. Our God desires and can and will deliver the joy that comes with the gift of a life formed in Christ. That is for us, that is for our people, the people we serve. Our privilege is to remember that and to share that good news. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.